Welcome to the 330 Sports Show. My name is Justin Coffin, and today is Thursday, October 29th, 2020. We are broadcasting live from downtown Youngstown, Ohio, and we are produced by Joe Danier's Youngstown Studio Network. On today's show, we're going to get into a little baseball talk in the World Series and the season that was. The Los Angeles Dodgers have won the 2020 World Series. We're also going to preview some games on the NFL in the NFL this weekend, as well as the NCAA slate. We're also going to talk some Halloween movies and the paranormal as well. You can see for the Halloween show, I rocked the Jimmy Dugan Rockford Peaches jersey. But we would love to hear from you, especially on the text line or voicemail line. That number is 330-333-5265. What I'm going to ask is if you have any baseball, football questions specifically, or anything Halloween related, any paranormal experiences, any, you know, we're also going to talk some favorite Halloween movies. And we'll get into that. But before we get into all that, we once again talked to Steve Leslie last night from YSN. Right now in the high school football playoffs, it's their version of the Sweet 16 of each division, and basically the Final Four of each region. So, you know, there's four different regions around Ohio, and there's four teams in each one of those. So Steve is going to break down those games pertaining especially to our local area. So we're going to kick it over to that, and we'll be back soon.
All right. Hey, guys. This is Justin Coffin, 330 Sports Show. Joining me again is high school football guru, Steve Leslie from YSN. You know, talking to Steve a little bit before we come on air is, you know, he knows his stuff. I have to, you know, I look at some of the articles and things like that, but he really knows these teams inside and out. So, Steve, again, thanks for joining us, and you know, welcome to the show again.
Absolutely, thanks for having me again. You know, YSN is honored to be a part of this and to be able to come on and promote ourselves through your program and your shows. You guys do a great job. We appreciate that. You know, another big weekend for YSN, Justin. Three games on Friday night, and then three more on Saturday. But, you know, some of the things we're looking at is we will have the Audible show Friday night, obviously. We'll do our pregame show 6:30 to 7, and then the Audible call, and then the scoreboard show afterwards. But Saturday is going to be a new thing for YSN. We are going to do a show called Primetime, similar to College Game Day. We will be doing a show live from South Range High School from 5 to 6:30 on Saturday night before the Crestview South Range game. Very proud to be doing a new show. We're looking forward to it, and obviously a big thanks to all the folks at South Range and their athletic department. So we'll do the primetime show from 5 to 6:30 there, preview Saturday's three games, and then be able, which is nice, after the game to be able to do our scoreboard show live from the stadium and do some coaches and players interviews. So that's something new for all of our fans. I just wanted to bring that up. But again, it all starts Friday night. Obviously, we're in the regional semifinals. These is two steps away. Two wins get these teams to the state semis. So great games all weekend. Now, the first one, Harding is going to play Hudson. Harding 6-2. Justin, Hudson's 8-0. Harding's been playing as good as anybody. They beat Austintown Fitch last week. Elijah Taylor, the quarterback, continues to have great weeks. They're going to face a tough test. They'll go to Hudson and face a good football team that was the third seed in that region. But having beat the two seed Austintown Fitch, this is a game that I think Harding can go up and win. And hopefully for our area, they could get it and be that representative in Division II. So that's the first one. And then I'll get into our YSN schools. We'll have three games Friday night. First one is a huge game. Campfield 8-0 versus Streetsboro 8-0. Streetsboro is the higher seed, so the game will be at Streetsboro, Justin. Campfield, I can't say enough about. They beat Akron St. V's last week. They play a game last Friday. They play about a quarter and 3 minutes of the second quarter. Then the Lightning delay comes, gets canceled to the next night. They're down 6-0. They come back Saturday night and win the game 14-6. Canfield continues to get better. You know, you look at some of their guys, Justin, they just do so many good things, but it all starts, in my opinion, with their offensive line. Obviously, Chris Samarone is one of those guys that will play linebacker, running back. Ethan Fletcher is their leading receiver, and a lot of it is contingent on how well Brock Lowry plays. The sophomore quarterback has been phenomenal in the playoffs and all season. Had a great playoff game against St. V's. Streetsboro, wow. They score. They average about 50-some points a game. A name for everyone to remember, Rick Towell McAllister's their running back, Justin. He's a commit to Eastern Kentucky. Has rushed for 1,500 yards for the season and 18 touchdowns. But here's one that'll open your eyes. Last week they played Dover. He carried the ball 21 times for 310 yards in the win over Dover. So high alert for the Canfield defense, which has been strong all year. It's a game, in my opinion, that I think Canfield can win due to their schedule. But with a running back like this, if you leave him a crease, he can beat you. So yeah. Big plays in this game will be key, but I expect Coach Pav and his boys to go up and hopefully get another win and get themselves into that regional final. Okay. The next game of the night for us is McDonald will travel to Lucas. Justin, McDonald's 7-1. Lucas is 6-2. Lucas will have the higher seed. Again, Dom Shadle had 157 yards, the running back last week, 4 touchdowns last week against Latonia, and a big win for them. Their key, and a lot of these keys, Justin, you guys do a great job talking football. Offensive lines in these games are huge, in defensive lines. The battle of the trenches. Coach Williams raved on our scoreboard show about McDonald's offensive line. Mm-hmm. They have played Lucas last year in the playoffs and got beat by them. So a little revenge game for McDonald. But as long as you have Mr. Shado in the backfield, the way their offensive line blocks, it's going to be a tough task for them on the road, but a game that hopefully that they can win. So we're rooting for McDonald big time that one. And obviously the last one is Dalton is 6-2, and they'll travel to Warren and play JFK. JFK and Coach Prologo just continue to improve week by week. Cam Hollaball is a grown man at quarterback. He does so many things well for that football team. Last week in their playoff win, he had 168 yards rushing the football and 70 passing. So he's that dual threat. Their offensive line has played well. Defensively, they continue to get better. They played a good game last week, had some big stops against a great opponent. And this is a game that I feel in this region, the winner of this football game can get out of this region and be that team that represents this region in the state semis. But Coach Prologo does a great job, and Cam Hollaball is without a doubt the leader of the JFK football team. And as he goes, this football team goes, but he continues to put up big numbers every week, and I expect that to continue. So, you know, that's Friday night's docket. Obviously, from a YSN standpoint, $9.99, 25% goes back to their school. But this will get you the ticket for both Friday and Saturday night. We're proud of that. We've been getting a lot of views, a lot of action. So Friday night will be another big night with the Audible show again from 7 to 10 and then the scoreboard show following. But Saturday we get kind of into the big boys. You know, I talked about the primetime show again. Hats off to South Range High School inviting us over. We're going to do a little primetime show similar to College Game Day from 5 to 6:30. Preview these three games we'll talk about, and then we'll stay and obviously cover the Crestview South Range game, and then we'll have a scoreboard show after. But the first one, while I look at it, Poland will host Ursuline. Ursuline is 6-2. Poland, Justin, is 7-1. This is a battle of two local powers. They don't play a lot other than playoffs, so a lot of expectations in this game, a lot of hype. Two quality teams. Coach Williams does a great job with Poland. obviously Coach Reardon and Urslan back into the playoffs. He's won 4 state championships. And this is that game for me. I think these two, we talked early when the brackets went up. There's no doubt in my mind one of these two can win a state championship, but unfortunately only one can move on from here. But you look at Poland, Jack Fulton, the quarterback, continues to do good things running and throwing. Andrew Senafani is a wide receiver. They like to get the ball to him. Christian Colissimo is a name to remember. They move him around. He gets the ball. He'll go into some wildcat things at quarterback. And again, the offensive line for Poland, they have a couple big boys across the board. They're 280. And the leader of that line is actually Coach Williams' son, Nate, is a senior center for the Poland Bulldogs, and he leads the way. Big offensive line for Poland, and that's what they will try to win this football game. Urslan, skill, athletic, speed, that's how they play. I think that's going to be the thing. Can Poland handle Urslan's athleticism and speed on the turf, which is a big thing? Brady Shannon, obviously the quarterback, has had a great year, had a big game against West Branch, who, you know, West Branch was undefeated. Urslan played a very good game. Yes, they gave up some points, but West Branch was a quality opponent that got Urslan ready to play a team like Poland. But DeMarcus McElroy is a great running back, Dante Walker running back, and obviously Coach Reardon's son as a receiver and a safety. I think you look at this game, just so many talented athletes from both schools, Division I prospects playing both ways. Unfortunate, I guess I'm going to say, with the crowd not being able to get out, being limited. It's a great thing for us at YSN, obviously, but we've talked before. This is one of those nights that if you can get in, the place would be packed at Poland High School. It'll be a great environment. It still will be. The game's a toss-up, in my opinion. I think that this could be down to a last play, could be down to a last possession. Obviously, who turns the ball over, who makes mistakes, but two quality teams with two very good coaches with great kids. So when you look at it, I don't want to – I think that's the big game of the night in our area, but two more big ones on the docket Saturday night. The game that I'll be at, Crestview 6-1 against South Range 8-0. South Range and Crestview will no longer play regular season, so – unless they meet in the playoffs, this will be the only way they meet. It's been a rivalry for years. I think that adds to how exciting this game is. I know both teams want to go out and put a showing on. Again, two quality teams. Crestview goes to Garrettsville Garfield, the number one seed, and knocks them off pretty convincingly. They play great defense. Anthony Cusick, Coach Cusick's son, is the quarterback. William Hardenbrock is the wide receiver. Brandon Jansen is another wide receiver that caught a touchdown. But the thing I like about Crestview, Justin, is they play great defense. I think fans will see their team speed on turf against a good South Range team. And it's a game that South Range needs to be aware of. I think that Crestview has proven to a lot of people in this playoff run, maybe haven't played the schedule that South Range has played, but have beaten some quality opponents in the playoffs, and Coach Cusick has done this a long time. So from a Crestview standpoint, good offense, very good defense, good athleticism, but they're going to have their hands full with South Range. Coach Yeagley, one of his best teams he's ever had, in my opinion, and it all starts with the quarterback. Michael Patrone is a senior. He had 2 or 3 touchdown passes last week against Beachwood. Luke Glasgow's a wide receiver, had a 46-yard reverse for a touchdown. Luke Krumbacher caught a 57-yard touchdown pass from Patrone. Jacob Gehring, the Ohio State baseball recruit, plays tight end and defensive end. He makes big plays, but their other big guy in that lineup is the running back. Dylan Dominguez is that two-headed monster for South Range. Dominguez and Patrone, they can beat you in so many ways, and Glasgow on the edge. Tough team to handle with their speed. They continue to get better. I know they've had some injuries. Not sure on some of those things on guys that I know they had a really bad injury, and I hope that young man's okay. I think there was a really bad incident. An ambulance came. I think it was a hairline fracture. So shout out to his family, and hopefully he's on the mend, but they've had some bumps and bruises, but this game is all it's built up to be. It'll be two communities that get after it. Again, it comes down to the line of scrimmage, and you know, can South Range stop Cusick at quarterback and stop some of the things he likes to do and keep the big plays away from them. But the big thing for me is, can Crestview stop Michael Patron and Dominguez from getting those big gains? Every week they get those big chunk plays early in games and have gotten up to such big leads. But, you know, from YSN, we'll be there. We look forward to being at that game. It's the first time I will be able to see both of those teams myself, so I'm looking forward to that and another great game. And the last one has some, you know, local flavor and some state name. Springfield at home, 8-0, against a 6-1 Mogador team who is a state power every year. I'm not sure how many times Mogador has come to Springfield. This could be their first trip, but, you know, Coach Guerrero, my goodness, I watched them a little bit last week. They have it all. They have a great kicker in Medvec. Michael Wagner, the defensive tackle, does a great job. Their defensive line is phenomenal. Their offensive line does a great job. Brady Brungard's a senior center, defensive lineman. Obviously, he's the leader of that. But Springfield goes with Bo Brungard. He may be the most athletic quarterback that I've seen. I talked with Coach Guerrero. Bo continues to get better, and you see it when you watch them play. His reads and the things his progressions that he goes through. Coach Guerrero's told me some college kids it takes time. So Bo Brungard is that good. Springfield local is that good. We've talked before. I think that they could win a state championship, but they will have their hands full. Mogador is a good football program, has done very well in this playoff run. Very good defensively, but I think they will be tested with an offense that continues to churn out. And we've talked before, the thing for me with them is they continue to get that home field advantage. If they could win this game, next week they're at home again. You know, JFK is that same format. Those are the two schools that if they could get wins this week, we'll get the home field for next week when we talk, and then you're that one game away from a state. But I think for what you guys do and what we do, the exciting thing is we're guaranteed to get two into a regional final with two local matchups. Obviously, South Range, Crestview, Ursuline, Poland, those teams will have one in each region in the regional finals. And I really do believe Canfield could get that region and get to a state semifinal. And let's be honest, obviously the way Harding's playing, I mean, they've had their hands full. People haven't given them a lot of credit or too many chances, but that's a really good football team that's playing well. So they will have their hands full against Hudson. But I think with the schedule that Harding has played and Elijah playing as well as he does at quarterback, our local teams are in for hopefully a big weekend with some wins and some trips to the regional finals and continue seasons. You know, I appreciate, again, you letting me do this. I enjoy talking with you about who we are and what we do and who we cover. Again, the fans, ysnlive.com/whatever school you want the 20, you want the 999, that 25% to go to. We're thrilled about that. It'll get you the package for the weekend. And obviously the audible we will have on wfmj.com and our YSN website. And then Saturday, check us out. And if you get a chance, just check us out. If you're not doing anything, stop up the South Range. I would love to, you know, sit and talk with you and do a little interview with you to help promote what you guys do as part of our game day too. So that's the ticket. It's when you look at it, there's some great football. There isn't a game on there that looks like a mismatch. These can all be close. But I think if I had – McDonald has a tough trip to Lucas, obviously, and the Canfield-Streetsboro game will be a dogfight. The other ones are coin tosses, and, you know, it comes down to who's wins the battle of the trenches, who limits the turnovers in the big plays. But from YSN, we're looking forward to a big weekend for sure.
Very good. Well, Steve, again, you know, your knowledge of the high school football and the local kids you know, I think what's great that you're doing and we're trying to get going on our side as well is, you know, just promoting these kids too, and giving them the exposure that they deserve. Because, you know, unless you're in it, you don't truly appreciate all the time and effort that goes into to what they do as well. So,
isn't that the truth? That is a great point that you make. People don't understand the time that coaches and players and cheerleaders and bands and parents. I mean, the parents have shuffled their schedules, I'm sure, in this COVID pandemic. Not every aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa gets in to watch these kids play. So the promotion that we try to do, the promotion that you guys do, let's be honest, in today's world, without it, a lot of these games and kids would go unnoticed. So, right. So hats off to you guys for what you do. And, you know, I know DJ and Brian appreciate you guys for giving us the opportunity to promote YSN, but 330, you guys are first class and do things great also.
We appreciate that, and you guys keep doing what you do, and it's going to be a crazy weekend, Halloween, Blue Moon, all that stuff. So
Ohio State's the night game too, right? That's a 7:30 too, yeah. So
yeah, we got to
go Buckeyes for sure. So you keep your eye on that Buckeye game for me, all right?
All right, that's fair enough.
All righty. Have a great night, Justin.
Thank you. Enjoy your night.
All right.
Thank you again to thanks again to Steve Leslie for coming on. He really him, DJ Yokely, Mike Ackleson, Nick Zaronis, they all do a fantastic job. You know, not just covering the games, but you know, getting to know these athletes and coaches and for me as a former coach, that was one thing I always, you know, took a lot of pride in, getting your players and your school, you know, positive recognition. So hats off to them, and hopefully we can work more with YSN going into the future. So let's transition from high school football now to the college side of things first. And I'm basically just going to talk about Ohio State, the Big Ten, and a little bit what's going on around the country here. But we're going to start first with the Buckeyes. The Buckeyes are obviously, 1-0, took over, had a nice win against Nebraska last weekend, and we'll get into Nebraska, Wisconsin here in a second, what happened. But Ohio State takes on Penn State this weekend. Penn State came in to the season ranked number 8 preseason, and, you know, just struggled against Indiana. Indiana's going to be a good team. They were an 8-win team last year, but they really did struggle. Clifford is their quarterback for Penn State. And he really did some damage last year against Ohio State. But Ohio State truly is just a loaded team, even with all the losses. So you can see up on the pick sheet here, I have Ohio State covering the 11.5 point spread. I'm also going to take the under. The under is 63 in that game. So I'm going to take the under 63 in Ohio State to cover. So winning by 12 points or more in that game. I think I would be a little bit more reluctant to take the Buckeyes to cover that big of a spread if there was a full whiteout in Happy Valley. But, you know, I know it's Halloween and I know it's a blue moon and all that crazy stuff. But I think with no fans in the stands, I think the Big Ten is allowing 1,500 friends and family for the home team and 500 for the visiting team. So, I don't think that's going to make enough noise. And Ohio State has the superior talent advantage, I believe, in this game. So I'm going to pick the Buckeyes to cover and win.
You know what I think? I think they recruited like kindergartners. They've got like a decade worth of recruits. It's going to be
the amazing thing is you see, you know, you look at, and I don't follow recruiting as heavily as some of my friends do and a lot of other people, but you look at, you know, they have things covered for 2022, 2023. You know, there's these crystal ball predictions of where these people are going to end up and land. So it's just crazy to see where how far in advance people are starting to recruit. Right. So, and you're right. I mean, like, you know, you get on the radar with the, you know, and people see what you do as a 14-year-old kid. That doesn't necessarily translate to when you're 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, whatever. But
if you can follow a kid from when he's learning fundamentals all the way up, you got a real good handle that talent's coming
absolutely,
out.
Absolutely.
So whatever they're doing recruiting wise, it's working.
And they have some, you know, Ryan Day does an awesome job, but they're, you know, their assistant coaches really get after it in recruiting. I would say Ohio State right now has 6 or 7 wide receivers that are going to be in the NFL on their team right now.
That's crazy.
You know, and a lot of those kids are 18, 19 years old. So we're going to see a lot of them in NFL uniforms in 3 or 4 years. Just a couple other things I'm going to bring up. We did have a text message come in. And
let's see how he reads this one.
I'm going to edit this a little bit, but Nebraska and Wisconsin, got postponed this weekend. So Wisconsin, their first string quarterback, was out with surgery, but then their second and third string quarterback came back with COVID. So Wisconsin was down to their fourth string. I don't know if other players on the team or whatever had that, but we had a fan or a viewer write in and says Nebraska worked with the University of Tennessee Chattanooga to play this Saturday, replacing Wisconsin. So that's great. So Nebraska is not going to lose a game. Now they are losing a Big Ten game and a game against a higher caliber opponent, but you know, this person goes on to say, what's the harm in Tennessee Chattanooga coming to Lincoln to play? Nebraska pays them. Each team benefits from having played the game and everyone goes home happy. So Big Ten approval. So nope. And then he goes on to say, hey, Big Ten, go get effed. You holier than thou meddling control freaks. Thanks again for punishing teams and kids that want to play. So I think that's pretty well said. You know, the Big Ten, you know, really gave no flexibility, pushed back the schedule, and, you know, delayed playing from, you know, the end of August till, you know, what did we start, October 24th. So no room for any, you know, a game being scheduled to be postponed because there's no wiggle room in the schedule. So that's all I really am going to touch upon with college football this weekend. But again, there's some big games. Ohio State, Penn State's probably the big game of the weekend. Penn State's got a big task to rebound against, you know, what some people feel. I'm gonna biasly say I think is the best team in the country. But Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, clear 1, 2, and 3. Notre Dame is up there and they're ranked number 4. But I think there's a clear drop off after 1, 2, and 3. You have your top tier with those three teams, and then you have a second tier. Probably Georgia, Notre Dame, teams like that. So I'm going to transition now to the NFL, and I'm going to have Mario bring back up my picks for the weekend. So I'm going to start with the Steelers and Ravens. Steelers, the only 6-0 team still left in the NFL. Baltimore 5-1. Now this game is in Baltimore, but I've picked against the Steelers for so many weeks that I just decided to pick the Steelers this week. Steelers are actually getting 3.5 points. So Baltimore's laying 3.5. So I'm going to take the Steelers to cover, not necessarily win, but cover the spread in that game. So so moving on now to, you know, my obviously team here, the Raiders are coming in 3-3. They just got beat up by Tampa, and they're going to be taking on the Browns at 5-2. Obviously, the Browns are without Beckham. Have some other injuries that hopefully some guys can get back in the mix, but you know, still a really, really nice, formidable offense. Actually, both of these teams have pretty nice offenses.
I'll take that over, by the way.
Oh, you're taking? We're both going to take the over in that game, 52.5. So, you know, I think this game could be another shootout. You know, Bengals, Browns-esque. I'm not going to pick the game. I think the Browns are, last time I looked, were 2.5 or 3 point favorites. I don't know if I trust that, so I'm going to stay away from that, but I am going to take, and Joe's going to take the over 52.5 in that game. This is the next game is my lock of the week. Now, you rarely ever, ever see a line this high in the NFL. The most of the time that the line is about, you know, the highest line you'll see is 12, 13, maybe 14 points. But Kansas City is getting nearly 20 points. They are laying 19 and a half points against, I mean, the Jets are just, they're just so bad. So bad. They did look decent for the first half against Buffalo last week, but I'm taking Kansas City 19 and a half point favorites to not only win, but blow out the Jets. So they're going to win that game by at least 20 points. Because
you have Jets as the worst team. So you have the best and the worst team.
Exactly.
In one game.
Yeah. Yeah. So in my power rankings that I came up with, before, I had Kansas City at 1 and the Jets at 32. So, you know, your matchup of the best and the worst. So, yeah, I'm taking Kansas City to not just win, but cover big.
So, you know, they say that in the NFL, because of just how good the players are, being the worst team in the NFL is still, I mean, you're exceptional. So anything can happen on a Sunday where that last place team could get something together and, you know, be formidable in that in that deal. Not this one, though. This one's not going to be that game.
And I feel like, you know, I feel like the first half last week, the Jets really, you know, they put up a fight against Buffalo, had the lead there for a while and brought Sam Darnold back in, but the Bills were just the better team and ended up, you know, taking advantage and winning that game, even though they play bad. But yeah, the Jets are, I used that word last week. They're like tanking for that Trevor Lawrence from Clemson, and Trevor Lawrence might think about going back to Clemson after this season for his senior year, where he doesn't declare for the draft if he ends up for the Jets. And again, you and I talked about this. This was the Browns maybe, what, three years ago, where the Browns were the worst team in the league. And, you know, the Jets will eventually get it turned around. NFL is a parity league, but they have a lot to do with that roster. So.
Do you follow Gary Vee, by the way?
Gary Vee?
Yeah. Mm-mm, so he's an entrepreneur. Okay. He does some motivational stuff, and he's been determined for the last decade to buy the Jets.
Okay.
Okay. And he got a lot of trouble early this year because he's a big Jets fan, and he was kind of like upset about how bad the Jets were.
Yeah.
But I'm halfway thinking that he might have an opportunity to buy the Jets if things go bad like this. I mean, you know, get him at a premium, right? Because he'll come around again. But yeah, anyway, I thought I'd mention that.
Oh, and we did have someone write in. The Jets were actually plus 21 at New England last year, and they ended up losing that game 30-14. So they still covered, you know, losing by 16, which is a big rarity.
Can we go back to, I don't want to interrupt you, but can we go back to the Browns? You mentioned that OBJ being out for the season. Now, do you think if a team has the opportunity now that you got a player, he's going to collect a paycheck no matter what, is he a mentor now on your sidelines where he goes into development mode, where he helps out the younger receivers like Peoples or whatever?
Yeah, you know what? He should. You know, he should, as a good teammate. That's what you should do. And him and Jarvis Landry are, you know, not just teammates, but they've been like best friends since college. So I think hopefully he will be that mentor. Not necessarily for Jarvis Landry, but like you said, some of these younger guys, Donovan Peoples-Jones and Rashard Higgins, and, you know, possibly even the tight end core. And I believe the Browns are getting back that I forget his first name, but Hodge, Cardale Hodge, coming back this weekend. And possibly the Browns might be bringing in some other trade assets. I've heard rumors of Adam Thielen from Minnesota and some other receivers, but yeah, hopefully OBJ, uses this time to, you know, obviously heal himself, get right. But I think from a player's perspective, you keep your mind active, you keep it healthy, you keep it by staying engaged and staying in the game. So he could really, 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 really help the team by doing that.
Yeah, because now the pressure is not on to catch passes, and if you feel shafted for not getting his due, now I can focus on cheering on the Browns and helping the young guys out.
And there's nothing in his contract that says you have to do this, you know, but hopefully as a good teammate, a good player, he will take his expertise, wisdom, and share it with those younger guys.
Yeah, what you said, that I think that Landry connection with him is going to keep him engaged in the game and caring about what's happening on the field.
Exactly. And I really hope you're right with that, because the Browns, you know, offensively were clicking at the end of that Cincinnati game, and hopefully they can keep that riding. We'll come back to the Browns in a little bit, but like the final game I have on here, I think this is a really, really nice matchup. We have the San Francisco 49ers at 4-3, traveling to Seattle at 5-1. I'm taking the Seahawks -3 to win and cover. So, San Francisco looked really good the last couple weeks. They were 2-3. They obviously have been decimated by injuries. So I think, you know, San Francisco is just that. San Francisco is the bad luck injury team this year, thus far. And, so I think Seattle takes advantage of that and bounces back from a tough loss last week. So those are my picks again. I'm taking the Buckeyes to cover, and taking the under in that game, under 63. I'm taking the Steelers to cover 3.5. Joe and I are both taking the Browns and Raiders at over 52.5. Lock of the week, Kansas City Chiefs, 19.5, and Seattle to cover -3. So with that, let's switch to baseball a little bit now. Baseball, can we cue up that sound feed, the Jimmy Dugan?
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
And if I'm Jimmy Dugan, the best piece of advice I can hand out is avoid the clap, Jimmy Dugan, like he signed on that baseball. I love that. It's one of the best lines in any movie. The Dodgers ended up taking the World Series the other night. They won their first championship since 1988. That was the Oral Hershiser era back then. And, you know, somebody was quick to point out that the last time the last time the Dodgers won a title, the Lakers did as well. So right now the Dodgers won the title in LA, the Lakers won the title in LA. So pretty good year for sports fan there, even though 2020 has kind of been a shit show.
Asterix.
Yeah. Right. But, a couple things, just a couple real quick, talking points from that game. Tampa Bay's manager was really, really criticized heavily because he's a real big analytics guy, and he pulled his pitcher after I believe it was, he had thrown 70 some pitches, but he was coming up on the third round where he was going to be facing the same batter. So analytics said for the manager to pull him, and that ended up just being a terrible, terrible idea. The Dodgers jumped all over, you know, the relievers in that game to eventually take a 3-1 lead and win the game. So he got criticized for that. So analytics got him there, but analytics in that game, I think cost him, you know, a chance at game 7. And the other interesting point from this game was that, I don't know if you heard this, but the Dodgers have a player named Justin Turner, and he was actually pulled in the 7th inning of the game. Listen to this. He took a COVID test before the game, and that test came back positive. So they pulled him from the game. They told him to go self-isolate, whatever. I don't know how they do that in the locker room or whatever. You know, maybe they put him in an office or something. But after the Dodgers won, he came back on the field and celebrated with them, which in his defense, if I'm him, I'm probably doing the same thing. You work so hard your whole life to be able to celebrate that one moment, but at the same time, you shouldn't be out there, because those players are now going back to their own families, and, you know,
last day in the bubble, right?
Mass spreader. Yeah, exactly. Yep. So, you know, you hate to see that, and congratulations to the Dodgers, but of all the things 2020 that could have happened, that was like the perfect example I pulled from that game. So, you know, you get pulled in the 7th inning for testing positive for COVID-19, and you come back out to celebrate, and, you know, we'll
give it
see.
To 1,000 of your best friends. Yay!
Exactly. So we'll see. And you know, the Dodgers in their defense protected their player and said he did all the right things. But if you look in the pictures, the videos, he's not wearing a mask, and he's like real, real up close with his teammates. And so it was a bad look for them. It was a bad, bad look for them. So let's switch gears now. So we talked about NFL, we talked about college football, we talked about the World Series, we talked about high school football. Let's switch gears. We're 2 days away from Halloween. Yes. I'm obviously, you know, up in my costume here and outfit. Being a sports show, I thought it was fitting, you know, the Jimmy Dugan costume. But in a second here, I'm going to have Mario cue up a little list I came up with the other day. And Joe and I can talk about this. And then Joe's got some interesting stories here he's going to tell as well. But I broke a bunch of Halloween movies I've seen. Now I limited these to movies I have seen. Not so if there's a movie out there that I missed, it's because I haven't seen it. But I broke it down into four categories, like a teen pop. I'm not going to say kid friendly because some of these movies, like a Hocus Pocus, for example, kid friendly, you know, you could trust a 6-7 year old to watch that. But, let me find a Beetlejuice. I probably wouldn't let a first or second grader watch that, right. or Scream, definite example. Right. So Mario, I'm going to have you put that list up on the screen for us. And Joe, why don't you, and these are the ones I've seen.
Yes.
And I know people listening on a podcast aren't going to be able to read this list. So we'll go over a few of them, but Joe, why don't you tell us some of your, I know we talked about it the other day, but maybe we missed a couple. Tell us a couple of your favorites.
All right. So I was with you that, you know, some of the 80s movies were, you remember them a lot better than they actually were, where the effects were terrible and the acting was terrible and whatever, but they stick with you and you remember them, like Child's Play you mentioned, and Fright Night. Yep. What was that one with Lost Boys? That was great vampire movie. Yep. Let's see, on there, Beetlejuice, like you mentioned, Scream was good. Let's see. The Stephen King ones, they always get me because he just has a way, you know what I mean, of writing a story that messes with your brain a little bit. No doubt. So The Shining is I let my kid watch The Shining probably a little too early, but I couldn't remember it being like awful bad, but there's some parts in it that will stick in your brain for a little while.
There's some jump scares, and those two twin girls are creepy as hell.
The bathroom scene too, that was off the...
Oh, by the way, have you heard... I'm trying to is it Polanski? Roman Polanski might have been the director for that movie. He's the one, Rosemary's Baby. I have not seen that, so I did not add that to this list. But he also there was a conspiracy theory with him and the moon landing that he was the one that did that. And if you look in The Shining, the little boy, Danny, is wearing a NASA shirt with the shuttle on it, Apollo 11, I believe it was. And the room 237, I think, that he doesn't go into is some sort of cue to, like, some sort of nod to the space landing that did or didn't happen. Like, I'm totally in belief that it happened, but there's...
Welcome to the Alex Jones show.
Yeah, exactly. but no, it's... It's, you know, it's interesting. And I actually watched the follow-up to that movie, Dr. Sleep, this past year. That was a really, really good movie. Really interesting take in the sequel to
Now, on your list, how many of these movies have you watched more than once? Like, a lot of...
Beetlejuice.
You watched that a bunch?
I'm only going to say it one time. I'm not going to say it three times. So that's one. Ghostbusters, seen a ton. The movie I didn't talk about the other day that I added to this list, and if you have not seen this, I'm going to recommend it, is Stir of Echoes. Kevin Bacon is in that movie. I want to say it's like mid to late 90s. Creepy as hell. He gets hypnotized in that, and that ends up like triggering all these different things he's seeing and doing. But there are some people that wrote in to me that said, you know, and this is a movie like The Exorcism of Emily Rose. I have not seen that movie, but they said that was the most afraid they've ever been.
Disturbing.
In a movie theater. So leaving that. But some ones I've seen a lot, The Sixth Sense I've seen a few times, Mothman Prophecies. I will say too, another movie I have not seen, or I'm sorry, another movie that is terrifying, absolutely terrifying, that does not get the legs that it probably should, is called Drag Me to Hell. The actor's name's escaping me, but you would know them to see them. But frightening movie. Like, literally, that's a movie, like, I would sit there and be like, you know, like, holding my breath, like, waiting to see what happened. Annabelle's, you know, another one. So those are some of mine. Mario and I were talking before the show. It Follows is a psychological thriller, scary movie. And if you have not seen that, that is one I would say definitely watch this weekend. It Follows, great movie.
Well, see, though, if you can take a scary movie and give it a storyline that mm-hmm. that's challenging, right? A mad guy that goes around slashing people isn't challenging, right? It's just gore. Mm-hmm. But like The Ring, great backstory, great development. Yep. Poltergeist, you know, that was not quite as good, but it still, for the time, it was pretty, you know, pretty good. 13 Ghosts ends up being my favorite of all of everything on this list. I probably saw that movie more than any other just because of the storyline.
And then just the dumb, funny one that's on Netflix right now is called Hubie Halloween. It's an Adam Sandler movie. Like I said, dumb, but really funny. If you're not quite into the horror, the jump scares, all that stuff, that's a good one. That's just a good comedic one that ties in with a lot of other Adam Sandler movies. And probably the weirdest one that I've seen on this list is called Vivarium. Highly recommend that. I believe that's another Netflix or Amazon Prime, one of those two. Recommend that. And Edward Scissorhands. I've seen that movie probably.
There's a lot of weird ones that have come over Netflix lately. I think they opened it up and made it so more people can create movies. And so you got some weird... You know, there was one I watched the other day, and it wasn't necessarily scary, but it was weird. It was like this couple got put in this magical like development where they got into a home and they couldn't escape.
Oh, that's Vivarium.
Is it really?
That's Vivarium. Yeah.
That's freaky, man.
Yeah, that's Vivarium. Yeah. That's a creepy ass movie. It is. Oh, one other one that I will say is terrifying. Now, I actually just watched The Haunting last night, which is like Owen Wilson and Catherine Zeta-Jones. That one's more like Hollywood. But that one's not too scary. There's one that's called House on Haunted Hill, and they have to stay the whole weekend. And like, if you come out alive, pretty much you win $1 million, something like that.
Is that the Owen Wilson one?
That one's called The Haunting.
Okay.
That one's called The Haunting. And Owen Wilson is in, The Haunting, The House on Haunted Hill. There's some actors and actresses you would recognize, but that one's a lot scarier. You know, it takes place in a former mental institution, and there's some good jump scares and just an overall creepy vibe to that movie, you know, where in for about an hour and a half or 2 hours, I kind of equate it to almost riding a roller coaster. You're looking forward to it, but when you're in the top of the hill, you're holding your breath and you're kind of like, why did I do this? But then when it's over, it's like, oh, it's totally worth it.
Let's
you know?
Do it again.
Yeah, exactly. So those are some of my favorites. Friday the 13th gets a lot of pub. Halloween gets a lot of pubs. I don't really love those movies. I think Nightmare on Elm Street for a classic movie is way more creepier because it's like in your dreams and then comes into reality. But you know, there's so many good ones, and I know everyone out there has a different level of tolerance and likes and dislikes. There's some people that probably will never see any of these movies because they know it's creepy and they don't want to enter that realm. But, those are some of my favorites. The Strangers is another one, but that one's based on a true story, and you know it's terrifying. So I put that one into that category. Just overall, like we talked about the Blair Witch Project, I think that was scarier when I first saw it to now. You look back, and some of these movies, if you rewatch them, they're still just as scary.
Right.
But other ones are like, well, if you watch it and you know what's coming, or you just realize it's kind of cheesy and you know, it's kind of lame. But there's more real good quality ones than bad ones on this list.
Yeah, because you know the ending of the story and you just can't buy into it the same way that you did the first time around.
Exactly. So Joe, we kind of teased it the other day. I want to hear, we talked about like some paranormal, you know, stuff. And I said, I've never, and I can't claim to ever have seen a ghost or anything, but I had a moment where I was a little bit younger, and you know, I had that almost like sleep paralysis where I didn't know if I was dreaming or awake, and I felt like something was in the room, or you know, it just felt like creeped out, you know, where you couldn't move. So that was probably my weirdest or only claim of paranormal activity that I can feel. But you have some good stories.
I do.
So let's hear them.
I've got three distinct like something happened to me moments. And one of them when I was real little, and I was home alone, and it was after school, and my siblings were all doing sports that
so
day.
So what age would you guess you
I would
are?
Say 10.
Okay.
I would say all 10. Right. So I hear some stuff going around in my basement, and okay. We have this little room in the basement that was converted to an office. So it had these two windows on the side and whatever. Okay. So I hear some stuff going on in that room, and we had a cat. So I figured it was the cat got into something, couldn't get out. So I went down there and I peeked through the window to see if I could get the cat out of there. And there's this big thing of light in the middle of the office room, and freaked me out. And I ran out of the house, and I ran across the street to my neighbors. And I said, there's something in the house. I didn't know that like what it was or whatever. I just knew that there's a big ball of light in the center of the room.
Okay.
And so the neighbor comes over and looks through things, couldn't find anything there. And so neighbor left. And so I'm still freaked out because I didn't know what happened. And then like heavy boot footprints coming up the stairs. Right. And that was it.
Hmm.
And so it, like I said, there was not like a run in with anything, but it was off the wall and scared the crap out of me.
You felt it. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And you heard it.
I did. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
You know, the boot one might've been, you know, my imagination was already kicking in, but the light thing I've never been able to explain. It couldn't be in like a mirror that threw, you know, sunlight
like
came through the window.
Like a small orb of light.
Yeah. Like an over, like the light. It was dark, and then you walk into a room and your eyes get overwhelmed with how much light there. That's what it was like. And okay. I didn't stick around to see like what it was. I bolted. I was out of there.
Interesting. Okay.
And so that was when I was super young. And then when I was in my early 30s, we bought a house, and I thought I was going to play Mr. You know, Fix It. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sanding stuff and
you know,
putting up cabinets and whatever. And this was on, it was one of the Super Bowls. The Super Bowl was on that day, and I'm in there just sanding drywall down. And so I'm standing in the middle of the kitchen, and there's the whole thing is just a cloud. Like the whole room is filled with clouds of dust. And I heard something.
From the sanding.
Right, right.
Okay.
And so I turn around, and it was like like a curtain parted, and I saw like, a curtain parting in the dust, and the hands come across.
Oh, Jesus.
There. Left, didn't stick around, and I was out of there.
Oh, man. Okay.
Same house, right? Fast forward maybe four or five years after the house was done and whatever. I wake up in the middle of the night and get up to use the restroom. Peripheral vision catches some lady standing in the window looking out, right? And no interactions, no anything. The next time I looked, she wasn't there. But I got to bed, and after I saw that lady, for probably the next 4 or 5 weeks, I would be woken up in the middle of the night, not seeing anything, just like jumping at something.
Right.
And finally, I was just like, I can't take this anymore. I got to go to work. I'm being woken up every day for 4 weeks, whatever. I will not pay attention to. I just like pleaded with it to just leave me alone. From that day on, I've never had a run in with it. So I even try not to talk about it, cause I don't want to usher that kind of crap back into my life, but
hopefully she's not watching this please, podcast.
whoever you are. So there you go.
Oh man. Okay. Okay. So do you think like say in that situation, do you still live in that house?
No.
Okay. So that's that. So do you think that whatever that was part of that house or came into that house with you? Because I don't fully understand the realm of, I don't know if I choose to want to understand or, you know, what do you think about that?
See, I honestly don't know what to make of the one when I was a kid because it didn't have any purpose. There wasn't any history. It never happened before. It never happened after. So it's just a weirdness. I'm more likely to put that up as a overactive scared kid's imagination that somehow reflected the sun. So I'm trying to make sense of that.
Sure.
Now the one in the peripheral, that was a weird one because that was a peripheral focus, still see it. Oh shit. You know, that kind of a thing. So I don't know what to make of it.
Well, and a lot of times you hear, going back to when you were 10, you hear like kids, and like I used on Tuesday, like animals are like more in tune to that sort of stuff. And like when we get older, we're you know, it's just like learning another language. Like they say, like kids can just pick it up. You know, if they're trying to learn Spanish or Italian or whatever it might be, they can pick that stuff up really fast when they're younger. And, you know, where adults have lost sort of that sense to pick it up real fast. So I almost wonder if there's like a part of the brain that like is picking up on something, or an extra sensory ability that kids have, or possibly even animals have, that we as adults, you know, when we get to a certain point in our life, don't have. So
yeah, and you're gonna think I'm weird on this, but as I learn more about biology and physics, the perception and the things that we see, mm-hmm. I believe a lot less and less of what the brain concocts based on incoming information. Just, you know, even from the Facebook ones where the blue dress versus the whatever,
right?
And how your brain can be tricked so easily, and mm-hmm. You know, whatever you buy into, you end up seeing more of. There was a test, an experiment with sound and a basketball, and basically what would happen is the when a kid would bounce a basketball, and if you were within a certain place, even though the sound was traveling faster or slower to your ears than your eyes were seeing it, your brain would actually line up the sound and the sight so that it sounded that way. Okay. Right? You had the ability to change what you were seeing and slow it down to match up with when you'd actually receive, you know, the incoming stuff. So if your brain has the ability to align input that's coming up and put it any way you want, I mean, it could make a ball of light look pretty real, right?
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. I have, you know, you hear all, like always there's people that say, you know, maybe it was something you watched before you went to bed, and you had a bad dream or whatever it might be. Or, you know, sometimes they say like, sometimes what you eat before you go to bed, right, like triggers certain neurons and axon, you know, dendrites, all that stuff, right, in your brain that are firing, and it makes you have these crazy dreams. And then, like I said, sometimes some dreams are so vivid, you wake up and you're not sure if it's a dream or if it's reality. Yeah.
Well, you ever have the falling dream?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And then, so when you wake up out of that dream, you tense up and mm-hmm. you feel like you hit the ground.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's your muscles, like, cause it doesn't know the difference between mm-hmm. the two.
No.
But if you were to go and think that, let's just say your imagination said that there was a dude pushing on your bed at the moment. If your brain connected up your body flinching, right, feeling what you just felt, and for a split second seeing a shadow of a shirt that was on a chair, mm-hmm. it could so easily make that real.
No doubt. So, I mean, I this is something that really interests me, and knock on wood, I haven't had those experiences, and I really don't want them. I like to hear the secondhand experiences of these things, but
In the moment, it was way worse than the roller coaster thing. You didn't want any part of it because it got to a certain point. Like the first time, it's like, ooh, I'm scared, but you can't turn it on and off. It keeps visiting you every day for 4 weeks. It gets a little bit much. And at the end, I was pissed off at it more than anything else because I was just sick of it. I felt like I was being tortured.
Right. So you almost reasoned.
I did. Yeah, I pleaded with it to leave me alone. That's what I did. Yeah. I felt like, because you feel helpless. Like if it was a human being, I'd have punched you in the face, right? I don't know what to do to you to get you to stop, except for please don't bully me.
Right. Oh, man. Okay.
And as far as like the dust one, you know, the dust was in the air, and where the dust parted when I thought I saw hands and it go away, there was an entry from the basement. So it could just as easily that the furnace kicked on and some air shot up there and it made something that my imagination filled the rest in. So I'm not a disbeliever or a believer, but I like to try to figure out what the heck I was experiencing.
Yeah. Well, I'm totally one that believes. I think there's things and, you know, in this world that can't be explained. And, you know, I'm not saying it's ghosts or whatever, but, you know, sometimes it could be our mind playing tricks on us, but you know, I'll leave that to people smarter than me that it's probably both.
Our imagination, mm-hmm. you know, welcomes it in, but there's some energies that you can connect to that's not you and not another human being too.
Well, and there's so many stories out there of things like that, but even way worse, you know, where, you know, you even going back to some of these movies, like A Paranormal Activity. Yeah, that's a fictional movie, but there's been so many accounts of, you know, things that are like haunted house type things where, you know, it's, you don't know what to believe. So I don't know. I'm a believer in that, but I haven't personally experienced myself to have firsthand knowledge of it. So I'm just going to say, you know, that's kind of what makes Halloween great. That's what makes these movies great, because there's always that sort of unknown, and, you know, there's going to be people that are like, you're crazy. There's no such thing as ghosts and this and that. And, you know, there may not be, who knows, you know, like, unless you've personally experienced it, you truly don't know. So, I like, you know, it's kind of like with the aliens thing, like, and I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. Like, I'm someone that believes, like, well, we live in, you know, we are such a tiny speck in our universe that there has to be other intelligent life out there that, that we don't know about. And so I'm a believer in the sense of, like, I'm hopeful. I'm not like everything's out to get you bad.
Right.
But I think, you know, you hear about like people that pass on that, like, maybe haven't gone wherever they go. And, you know, are just sort of entrapped in the space. And that might be a house, that might be following a person around or whatever. And you hear there's good ghosts or bad demons or what, you know, whatever it might be. And again, I don't want to go down the rabbit hole.
Did you ever watch that Ghost Hunter show that used to be on like Sci-Fi?
I know of it, but I've never watched.
So it was two dudes who took it from more of a scientific approach. Mm-hmm. And I dug it because I wasn't even though I had my experiences, I always had alternative endings or explanations for it. Well, they bought all the equipment and they tried to disprove it more than they tried to prove it. You know, like mm-hmm. there's some people who want to believe it so bad. So they make everything, you know, they take mm-hmm. a picture and see a dust particle in the air. And it's an orb that it was named Charlie, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. These weren't these guys. These guys really tried to find logical reasons, and that's why I dug it. But I don't think is, I think it's hard to make it happen on command. So to have a TV show around it, mm-hmm. it was a lot about not capturing it, because what are the chances that you're going to run into a spirit that's willing to play for the camera, that's, you know?
Right, exactly, exactly. I do have a family member, and I went to, it's on Lipley Road. It's in New Springfield, Ohio. We got this book called Haunted Ohio, I think it's called. And, it like really maps it out for you. You go to this, there's this big tree in this open field. And, you hear about these people in New Springfield that go out and see that eagle's nest that's on Lipley Road.
Yes.
It's right by Pine Lake out there, but just a little bit down the road from there, there is this big tree or trees, in this empty field. And my family member and I went there because we read about it and we were close. We're like, let's go check it out. So there are these, headstones under there, and they are from the 1600s, and they are, it's written in German, but they're supposedly like witches' names in German. So in this book, it claims like cars have stalled out and died in that area. They've claimed to see witches hanging from the trees. And, you know, people have claimed to see that. I personally haven't, but those headstones are there. And, you know, it always kind of just makes you think like, what's cool out there. Yeah. So
we should do a field trip and do some kind of scary show. I mean, it is the season, right?
It is. It is. So that might be something, again, if anyone ever has any of those stories, you know, that's why this show is called the 330 Sports Show
and more.
Yep. So this is the and more part of that show that we got to, but, I thought, you know, this would be fun to just, talk about this for a little bit. So, you know, write in. And like I told you earlier, there is the text line or voicemail line, 330-333-5265. It doesn't have to be today, but obviously maybe for our next show, we can follow up with that. But anything you want to add?
No, that's good. Go Browns.
Like, all right, yeah. Go Browns. Go Buckeyes. Hopefully we have a good, not creepy weekend with that. So hopefully the Buckeyes take care of business Saturday night, and the Browns take care of business at home on Sunday afternoon. So thanks to everybody for tuning in. appreciate you listening. You know, subscribe on YouTube if you can, to the Youngstown Studio channel, and just check us out, like us on our podcasts and on our Facebook page. So again, appreciate everybody out there listening. For Joe, for Mario behind the scenes, everybody have a great weekend. And why don't we cue up our Jimmy Dugan one more time?
No. Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
Cheers to everybody. Enjoy your weekend.
Stan Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.